chapter 17 what we can control to improve our health, happiness, and the quality of life. An assessment of what we can and cannot control in relation to the quality of life. What we cannot control in relation to the quality of life. There are many ways that the quality of life can be evaluated, such as from the perspective of health, psychology, sociology, economics, etc. Many of the factors that are sometimes used to evaluate the quality of life, we have little or no control over. For example, we cannot control the social and economic circumstances that we are born into. Some of us are born with health problems, or because of genetic predispositions, or environmental factors, pathological conditions develop. Sometimes people make poor decisions at certain points in their lives, because of lack of knowledge, social pressure, and/or adverse psychological dynamics. This can range from choosing the wrong career or mate, developing an unhealthy sedentary lifestyle, quitting school, smoking cigarettes, and drug or alcohol abuse. Whatever the adverse decision was, it might have resulted in adverse habits or other undesirable consequences in the present. The poor decisions that we made in the past cannot be changed. What we can control in the quality of life, however, undesirable consequences that we experience in our daily lives from adverse genetics, environment, decision-making of the past, habits, social and economic circumstances, usually can be alleviated to at least some degree. In many cases, undesirable circumstances, whatever its origin, can be partially or totally circumvented, or even totally rectified. Some people who are faced with adverse situations learn to adequately deal with the resulting problems, and they might even end up stronger, healthier, richer, and/or wiser because of the challenges they faced. In this chapter, I am focusing on factors and problems that most people have partial or total control over, that affect health, happiness, and the overall quality of life. I will be focusing more on unhealthy or adverse habits, because this represents areas where people can improve their lives, by breaking or reducing bad habits. Habits that are already healthy and very functional do not represent areas where there is much room for further improvements. This does not imply that good habits cannot be improved further with an investment in time and effort, which will most likely result in additional rewards. However, it might be more fruitful to become aware of your bad habits and invest your time and effort in replacing these habits with functional and healthy behavior patterns. Health and the quality of life in relation to our habits. What exactly is a habit? Before we discuss this topic, it is necessary to define the word habit. A habit is a behavior pattern that is repeated over a period of months, years, or even throughout life. The behavior pattern can be focused on a goal, or some type of pleasurable experience. The behavior pattern comprising a habit can also involve attempts to prevent discomfort or pain. Habits can be constructive, destructive, or somewhere in between these extremes. Some examples of habits will clarify the way I am using the terminology. Examples of habits, and the rewards they provide. Good study habits may be rewarding because they result in high grades. Poor study habits may be rewarding also for some individuals, because they minimize the time, effort, and discomfort that may be associated with studying diligently. Poor study habits might also provide more time for relaxation and recreational activities. Good health habits may be rewarding because it makes you healthier, stronger, more energetic, more alert and successful. Poor health habits might also be rewarding because it provides the opportunity to eat tasty junk food, avoid the strain of exercise, and may also provide more time for relaxation and recreation. Addictive behaviors are examples of the worst type of habits, and this includes cigarette smoking, alcohol consumption, and various types of drug abuse. Habits of this type may involve the seeking of pleasure from an addictive substance. It can also involve taking an addictive substance to avoid the pain of withdrawal, and/or to avoid the discomfort of adverse life circumstances. Habits usually have positive or adverse consequences, involving a series of cause and effect sequences or chain reactions that affect many areas of life. Habits can determine the quality of life and health to a very significant degree. Good and bad habits have a tendency to initiate a cause and effect sequence, or chain reaction of good or bad consequences. For example, Good study habits can result in high academic achievement. The high achievement can lead to desirable and lucrative employment, which in return may lead to some degree of wealth and social prestige. This in return can lead to many desirable opportunities throughout life, including better living conditions and better health care. On the other hand, poor study habits can lead to school failure and lack of education. This can limit employment opportunities to low-paying jobs, which is likely to result in financial problems. All of this can result in poor living conditions, inadequate health care, and a stressful life with many difficulties. Another example is eating and exercise habits. The habit of overeating and lack of exercise will result in obesity. The obesity can cause health problems, and for some people social difficulties. The obesity and related health problems can limit the ability to move about and interfere with most daily activities. This might limit employment opportunities, especially if the obesity leads to disabling medical conditions. All of this can cause financial problems, which can lead to many other difficulties. We can see just the opposite of the above sequence in a person that has good health habits. A person with good eating and exercise habits will have proper body weight, will most likely be stronger, healthier, more capable physically, and possibly more alert and perhaps more capable mentally. This can lead to better employment and social opportunities, which can provide a wealthier and healthier life. A note on the probabilities associated with good and bad habits. All of the concepts and examples presented above are based on probabilities. Any type of bad habit will usually have a set of adverse probabilities associated with it. This is why it is classified as a bad habit. For example, habits of overeating, avoidance of exercise, cigarette smoking, alcoholism, or drug abuse increase the probabilities of health problems and financial difficulties. Good habits have a set of desirable probabilities associated with them. This is the reason why they are classified as good habits. For example, good eating, exercise, study, and work habits increase the probabilities of good health, maintaining employment, and the avoidance of financial problems. One of the principles to understand is the more good habits you have, the greater your probabilities will be for success, health, and a good quality of life, and vice versa. That is, bad habits reduce the probabilities of success, health, and a good quality of life. Another important idea to understand is the concept of probability, which does not imply certainty. For example, a small number of people might actually succeed and become wealthy because of poor study habits and flunking out of school. This sometimes allows an individual to focus on their specialized abilities, which results in great success and a wealthy life. There are individuals that did well in school because of excellent study habits, but they cannot obtain adequate employment. Some people who are habitual overeaters and obese remain relatively healthy, successful, and happy throughout life. Some people with good eating and exercise habits might develop many medical problems in spite of their efforts. Sometimes good exercise habits can lead to serious injury and even permanent disability. However, the likelihood of adversity developing as a direct or indirect result of bad habits are very high, but not absolutely certain. Good habits increase the likelihood of developing a healthier, happier, and more successful life, but this does not represent absolute certainty either. Different types of habits. Dividing habits into four categories. If we divide habits into categories, it might provide insight that may help us evaluate our habitual behaviors and make improvements. I am dividing habits into four categories, which are health habits, social habits, financial habits, and mental health habits. However, very often a habit can fit into more than one of these categories. All of these categories can affect every area of your life, especially your health, and I am discussing these categories under the following four subheadings. Health habits. Health habits can affect the quality of life more than any other factor, in many cases. No matter how much money, social status, or success a person has, health habits can be the dominant determinant of the quality of life. Poor health habits will weaken the body and mind to varying degrees, and it will result in illnesses, which will prevent the enjoyment obtainable from money, social status, and success. This becomes obvious at the extreme levels of poor health habits. Most of us are aware of a number of very wealthy, successful and famous people who developed serious drug or alcohol habits, which led them to serious illness and early deaths. To evaluate your health habits, consider the following questions. How are your eating habits? Are you overweight or underweight? Do you eat a balanced diet daily, such as fruits, green and yellow vegetables, grains, dairy products, and an adequate source of proteins such as from meat, fish, poultry, dairy products, or soybeans? Do you exercise regularly? Do you do some stretching, cardiovascular, and resistance exercises, daily or weekly? Do you use any addictive substances, such as cigarette smoking, alcohol, or illicit drugs? Based on your answers to the above questions, what are all the possible ways that you can improve your health habits? Social habits. Based on the way I am using the terminology in this chapter, social habits relate to behavior patterns with other people, organizations, social institutions, the law, and society in general. For example, an honest and law-abiding citizen has functional habits in relation to the law. A criminal has dysfunctional habits in relation to the law. Of course, the concept of social habits is not limited to the law. Some people have a tendency to get into conflict with others because of their behavior and thought patterns, which comprise a set of dysfunctional social habits. In some cases, these individuals might not be doing anything that is immoral, wrong, or obviously inappropriate. They might have mildly aggressive verbal habits, where they criticize others or embarrass people in public. When they are faced with hostile reactions from others, they may habitually defend themselves verbally, by arguing and criticizing, in such a way that it increases the hostility greatly. They might possibly think of themselves as victims, because they did not do anything that is illegal or immoral. However, individuals in this category have a problematic set of social habits, which may be reinforced by dysfunctional beliefs of how to deal with people. Other examples of dysfunctional social habits are the result of habitual behaviors that relate to bad manners. The concept of inappropriate manners is somewhat relative to the environment. Some people develop behavior patterns and related social habits that were appropriate in the environment that they grew up in, but may not be appropriate in other environments, such as in the workplace. There are also many people that get along exceptionally well with others as a result of their behavior and thought patterns. These individuals have highly functional or good social habits. They have developed social skills and possibly insight into the needs and feelings of other people. Most people can probably improve their social habits and related skills toward this ideal with a persistent effort and ongoing practice. Financial habits. Financial habits relate to the way we handle money. For example, a person with poor financial habits might spend money on unimportant items impulsively, and then have difficulty paying for the necessities of life, such as food, shelter, electric bills, etc. Many individuals are just the opposite of the above, and they manage their finances successfully and have some money left over for savings. Between the extremes presented above, where are you in terms of your financial habits? If you had to rate yourself from 1 to 10, what number would you choose? Let us assume the poorest financial habits are 1 and excellent habits are a 10. After rating yourself, make a list of all the possible ways that you might be able to improve your financial habits. Mental health habits. What are mental health habits? Based on the way I am using the terminology, it refers to our thinking and behavior, especially in terms of the way we respond to the stresses, challenges, opportunities, and choices we face in life. It includes the strategies and thought patterns that we generally utilize when faced with desirable and undesirable circumstances. For example, some individuals might have a tendency to cease activities and go into a depressed state when faced with adversity. Another individual may have the opposite response, involving an increase in activity focused on eliminating or reducing the adverse situation. Most, if not all, habits can also be classified as mental health habits, because habits involve our thoughts, self-control, and behavior, which are of course mental processes. For example, bad eating and exercise habits can be classified as adverse physiological health habits. However, they can also be classified as mental health habits or mental health problems because they involve behavior and various psychological processes. Thus, breaking any type of bad habits and/or creating a good habit is a way of improving your overall mental health, as well as your physical health and quality of life. Self-improvement and your habits. Use yourself as a standard of comparison for your self-improvement efforts. Generally, good habits might make you more successful in many ways than you would have been without the good habits. However, good habits will not necessarily make you more successful than others. For example, developing excellent exercise habits will probably not make you an Olympic athlete. You might even be weaker and less athletic than many people who do not exercise, but still much stronger and healthier than you would be without the exercise program. The same idea applies to all types of good habits, constructive activities, and self-improvement efforts. Thus, when dealing with any type of self-improvement program, you should use yourself as the standard of comparison to evaluate your progress. This involves a comparison of your status at two points in time. The most obvious example is with weight reduction, which involves a comparison of weight when a diet was started and your current weight. Self-improvement efforts are more likely to be fruitful if they are focused on improving habits. Self-improvement efforts are likely to be most productive when they are aimed at changing or improving habits. For example, it is possible to lose weight by going on a crash diet and/or by taking medication to reduce appetite. This will not change eating and exercise habits, and any weight that is lost with crash diets or medication to curb appetite will probably be gained back eventually. The alternative approach to weight reduction is to focus on improving eating and exercise habits. This involves planning a low-calorie, healthy, and tasty diet that can be continued throughout life. It might include planning an exercise program that can be carried out on a regular basis. It also can involve developing new interests and engaging in pleasurable pursuits, with the goal of detracting oneself from the habit of overeating. Keep in mind that I am using weight reduction as an example. The same principle focusing on breaking bad habits and creating good ones applies to most self-improvement efforts to varying degrees. Thus, an optimal way to start a self-improvement program is to ask yourself the following questions about your habits. What are the bad habits that I have to break or modify to achieve my goal? List all the habits that you need to change or eliminate. What are the good habits that I have to create to obtain my goal? List all the good habits that you need to develop to obtain your goal. The above raises an interesting question: how do you break bad habits and create good ones? Answer: practice, practice, and more practice. People often fail at self-improvement efforts and attempts to break bad habits because they think that they can make changes with willpower and nothing more. Actually, applying some willpower may certainly be helpful with any type of self-improvement effort, but by itself it will usually lead to failure. If we examine how habits are created, it will provide the insight needed to break bad habits and create good ones. Habits are created by a repetition of various behavior patterns over an extended period of time. Good habits are often created deliberately by efforts involving the repetition of a behavior pattern over a period of weeks, months, or years. This, by definition, is a type of practice. Bad habits are created in the same way, except the repetitive behavior or practice might be inadvertent. Thus, the key to creating or breaking bad habits is practicing appropriate behavior patterns over an extended period of time. For example, to break bad eating habits, you may start by changing your shopping habits in relation to food purchases. This involves an effort to avoid the purchase and consumption of unhealthy foods and the purchase of healthy foods. This will make it easier to practice good eating habits throughout life, which is essential for permanent weight reduction. The idea is repetition over an extended period of time, involving months, years, and with most good habits, the practice must be extended throughout life. However, as the behavior pattern required for a good habit is repeated over a period of weeks and months, it eventually becomes easier and easier to carry out, with progressively less strain and effort. Practice does not mean perfect. It is important to understand that practicing new behavior patterns will usually not involve perfection. It will usually involve many failures and partial failures, coupled with successes. As practice continues over a period of weeks, months, and sometimes even years, the number of failures will generally decrease and the number of successes will increase. For example, an individual trying to develop good eating habits to lose weight might periodically break their diet and might even gain some weight back, but this will happen less often if the effort is maintained throughout the remainder of life. Feedback and correction is important for any type of practice. One of the most important principles involved with practice of any type is feedback and correction. This especially applies to the practice needed for breaking bad habits, developing good habits, or for learning a new skill. What I mean by feedback and correction is a method consisting of periodic assessments in your progress and related corrections in techniques and strategies to optimize your chances of reaching your objective. The simplest example of feedback and correction is a person driving a car with the goal of reaching a specific destination. The driver observes and evaluates geography, road signs, traffic lights, and controls the car accordingly. This involves a series of many small corrections with the steering wheel, accelerator, and brake to reach the destination. When feedback and correction is applied to the practice needed to obtain a self-improvement goal, the situation is more complicated than the above example. With the above example, the driver can easily evaluate her progress in miles, and there are relatively few factors to control, such as the steering wheel, the brake, and accelerator. With the feedback and correction associated with obtaining a self-improvement objective, usually many factors need to be evaluated and periodically corrected to maximize the chances of obtaining the goal. A good example is a person that is trying to lose weight. They monitor their progress by weighing themselves on a scale to measure how much weight they lost. They might also monitor how they feel with a reduced calorie diet, such as do I feel sick, severely hungry, low in energy, etc. All of this is feedback, and it may necessitate periodic changes in various aspects of the diet. For example, if the weight reduction is inadequate, the calories may have to be reduced further, exercise might have to be increased also. On the other hand, if the weight reduction is very rapid, and the person feels sick or hungry all the time, calories may have to be increased. In addition, if the feedback indicates that the diet is not producing satisfactory results, it may have to be totally changed, and/or other techniques may have to be used. When feedback indicates that strategies or techniques are not fruitful, keep on trying new ones until you obtain successful results. Changing techniques and strategies to maximize the chances of obtaining a self-improvement goal is a very important corrective procedure, especially when success is minimal. If we continue with the above example of weight reduction, a change of strategies and techniques can involve a different type of diet, a more vigorous exercise program, professional assistance and medication, and/or the application of various psychological methods. This can involve hypnosis, weight reduction counseling, or various types of psychotherapy aimed at assisting with weight reduction, or getting involved with highly pleasurable or interesting activities to distract from the reduction in food intake. Changing strategies and techniques is likely to necessitate trial and error and experimentation. This can involve repeated trials with many procedures and methods until you obtain success. This can include seeking professional assistance, changing professional assistance to a different type, or utilizing different equipment that relates to your self-improvement goal. Make your efforts and related practice for self-improvement as enjoyable as possible. For most self-improvement goals, a considerable amount of time and effort and practice are required to obtain your objective. Sometimes, this work can be difficult and frustrating before success is finally obtained. Because of these difficulties, many people give up their self-improvement efforts. The solution to this problem is to try to make the work needed for your self-improvement goal as pleasurable and stimulating as possible. Exactly how to do this depends on the goal that you are working on, and your personality and overall life circumstances. However, I will provide some examples, followed by some questions to stimulate your thinking in this regard. The simplest example is self-improvement efforts that involve sitting, reading, writing, studying, and/or working with a computer. These activities can sometimes be quite unpleasant, simply because you are sitting with little or no movement for prolonged periods of time. The solution is to periodically get off your seat and move around a little, and perhaps do a little quick stretching of your arms and legs. When you are working with a computer, it may not even be necessary to stop your work. You can simply move your chair slightly, and continue monitoring the computer screen. In addition, while you are sitting, you can move your arms and legs periodically while working. All of this will greatly reduce the strain of any type of activity that involves prolonged sitting. With any type of academic activity, such as for school, try to choose courses and assignments that you find interesting and enjoyable. Try to avoid courses and assignments that you are not interested in, or are likely to find excessively difficult and frustrating. Another good example of a self-improvement effort that can be made more pleasant is improving health with physical exercise. To make your exercise sessions pleasurable, choose the type of exercise that you enjoy and are capable of doing without overstraining your body. Some people might find various types of amateur sports carried out with friends a good source of exercise. Basketball is an exceptionally good type of exercise for many people. There are many people that enjoy jogging, bicycling, or working out with friends at a gym. For any type of self-improvement that involves eating habits, you can make the experience more pleasant by carefully choosing foods that you enjoy. This might require additional effort and careful thinking while shopping. It also might require additional time to prepare the food. If you happen to be someone that enjoys cooking, you can invest some time in preparing elaborate meals that you find tasty. When engaging in any type of self-improvement program, ask yourself the following questions to help you make the required effort and your work more pleasurable. What are all the necessary activities that I must carry out to achieve my self-improvement goal? Make a list of these activities. Place the activities that you like less on top of your list and the ones you like more at the bottom of the list. After completing this, ask yourself for each item on the list, starting from the top, what are all the possible ways that I can make this activity more pleasurable and interesting, or less unpleasant? For activities that you find truly unpleasant, try to find alternatives that are pleasant, or at least less unpleasant.